A is United States against Wilburn. Mr. Byrd.
May it please the Court, Your Honors, Mr. Kerner, Mr. Bindi, good morning. My name is Mark Byrd and I represent the appellant, D'Angelo Wilburn, in this morning's hearing. I believe it was Justice Holmes that once said that cross-examination is the greatest legal engine ever invented for arrival at the truth. In this case, we had a Franks hearing.
That's the very kind of thing Holmes would scoff at, actually.
Oh, perhaps it wasn't him.
I think there's a high probability that Holmes didn't say that. It's the kind of thing that Justice Brandeis might have said, but I don't know whether he did.
Nevertheless, in a Franks hearing, Your Honor, Your Honors, the issue of cross-examination of the affiant officer is paramount. It is the foundation and the entire reason for having a Franks hearing. In the case at bar, however, I was so limited in my ability to cross-examine the affiant officer, Detective Gambini, by the district court that it effectively operated to deny Mr. Wilburn a meaningful Franks hearing in a manner that I believe constitutes clear error. Detective Gambini submitted an affidavit that's found at page 27 or item 27 of the record. There are two essential paragraphs that are at issue in the case, and those are paragraphs 3 that deal with the concerned citizen's tip, and paragraph 5, which alleges the controlled by that Detective Gambini engaged in. In paragraph 3 of the affidavit, there are two items that Detective Gambini represented, one of which we were able to establish prior to the Franks hearing through the submissions and the affidavits and photographs, and that is that the concerned citizen indicated that illegal narcotics were being sold from 1341 Charles Street upper apartment. 1341 Charles Street has both an upper and lower unit in it. From the exterior, it appears to be a single-family home. However, it is clearly marked on the exterior as having two apartments. The first item that was represented in the affidavit was that...
Turns out not to be Brandeis either. It was Professor Wigmore.
Oh, okay. Either one of them, Brandeis or Holmes, I think it's a... worthwhile comment to have made. I certainly believe it, and I think that we can see in this case where the deprivation of it affected the defendant's rights to a Franks hearing. Now, during the hearing itself, we learned that what was actually represented in the affidavit by Detective Gambini in that the concerned citizen indicated narcotics were being sold, in actuality, under examination, became that the concerned citizen thinks drugs were being sold. And that certainly creates a different characterization. On the one hand, drugs were being sold implies a statement of fact versus think they're being sold, which is a statement of opinion or speculation. That came out solely as a result of the questioning in the hearing. On the second issue, and the second thing that we learned that Detective Gambini may have misrepresented in the hearing is regarding the concerned citizens saying that they were being sold in the upper apartment at 1341. Because as Detective Gambini and the photographs that we submitted of the exterior show, you cannot tell from exterior surveillance whether or not an individual who enters 1341 goes to the upper apartment, lower apartment, or just sits on the stairs for a period of time and then leaves. All of that notwithstanding, the district court prevented me from trying to ascertain from the detective whether or not the witness had ever witnessed a hand-to-hand transaction, whether or not they had ever been inside 1341 Charles Street, all items that are directly relevant to the issues raised by the representations of Detective Gambini's affidavit. It's our position that for the judge to limit us in that fashion prevents us from going forward and even attempting to meet what is a very large burden of proof in a Franks hearing like this. The second issue comes in paragraph 5, which is the alleged controlled by. There are two representations that are made by Detective Gambini with respect to the controlled by that's alleged to have occurred in the time frame prior to the execution of the warrant. One is that, in fact, it was what is considered to be a controlled by. Second is Detective Gambini's representation that prior to and as part of what makes this presumably a controlled by, he searched the individual and pronounced in the affidavit that they were free of drugs or money. In cross-examination, one of the few areas I was allowed to get into, it became clear that the search was, according to Detective Gambini's own words, pat down inside the pockets, inside the coat pockets, so forth. There's no further delineation of what type of search was conducted. And the whole purpose of utilizing the term controlled by is presumably to give the issuing magistrate or judge a certain level of comfort that this is, because it's not just a by but a controlled by, there's an acceptable margin of error that the court can assume in relying on that type of statement. It's our position that this was not demonstrated to be a controlled by whatsoever. Officer Gambini, in particular, with respect to the pat-down search, just inside the coat pockets and so forth, would arguably, and we take the position, be insufficient to pronounce in an affidavit that this confidential informant was free of any money or drugs. And certainly that's all relevant to an issue of probable cause. However, when I attempted to go further into the circumstances and the officer's state of mind when he presented these statements of fact in the affidavit, the district court sustained objections to the date of the controlled by, whether Detective Gambini ever worked with the confidential informant in the past, the amount of authorized advance funds given to the confidential informant, the amount of the drugs that were allowed, although the judge did ask some questions himself that it elicited that it was not a multiple gram quantity. I wasn't entitled to even learn the gender of the confidential informant, which is directly relevant given the fact that we had submitted affidavits from Jesse Partee and the defendant regarding an encounter with a lady that came in the day before the warrant was executed. Excuse me. And in that affidavit indicated that she came in looking for work, which is a euphemism for drugs, and that she was sent away, told this is not a drug house. We were not allowed to get into any of that by the district court. The burden of proof under the case law in a Franks versus Delaware hearing is we have to establish intentional or reckless misstatement of material fact, which when excised from the affidavit in support of the search warrant, defeats probable cause. The affidavit is presumed valid. That's clear in the case law. Material omissions, those are also fair game if they affect probable cause. And third-party lies, such as a confidential informant in this case, or possibly the concerned citizen, is only allowed if the affiant knew or engaged in reckless disregard of the fact that the affiant, or that the confidential witness or confidential informant lied. You cannot effectively delve into beginning to even meet that burden of proof unless you're allowed to aggressively cross-examine the officer, the affiant who is making these representations, to learn his state of mind. And it was because the district court shut us down on all of these avenues pertinent to paragraphs 3 and 5 that we respectfully submit that those denials were clear error. If there are no further questions, I'd like to reserve a little bit of time for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Carter.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Mark Carter. I'm representing the United States and was the assigned prosecutor in this case from the beginning. The district court properly denied the defendant's Franks motion. The key elements of Detective Gambini's affidavit, there was three of them actually. The first element concerned his conversation with a concerned citizen who reported drug trafficking activity in the upper apartment at 1341 Charles Street. The second and he accurately reported that conversation in his affidavit. The second element dealt with Gambini's periodic surveillance of 1341 Charles Street, and Detective Gambini completely and accurately reported to the state court judge the results of that periodic surveillance. The third component or element of his affidavit dealt with Detective Gambini's description of the controlled purchase of cocaine that was made in this case, and he accurately reported that controlled, his observations surrounding that controlled purchase to the state court judge. Let's go to the questions where my objections were sustained on counsel. I won't take each question individually. I'll group them according to subject matter. The first three questions dealt with Gambini's conversation with the concerned citizen and whether or not that concerned citizen either testified, or not testified, but reported to Gambini he or she's basis of knowledge for concluding drug trafficking was occurring at this address, whether or not Detective Gambini attempted to elicit that. And those objections were sustained properly because Gambini in his affidavit never reported the concerned citizen's basis of knowledge. I would also add that they effectively established what they wanted to establish, though, because on page 89 of the transcript, counsel was allowed to ask, based on Gambini's conversation with the concerned citizen, was Gambini able to conclude whether or not the concerned citizen actually witnessed the drug trafficking, and he said he wasn't able to conclude either way. The fourth question dealt with the counsel's question of what the date of the controlled purchase was. That objection, again, sought irrelevant information and was properly sustained. That would have also tended to identify the confidential informant. The last three questions dealt with Gambini's interaction with the confidential informant who made the controlled purchase here. All three of those questions sought irrelevant information and would not have been probative, were not probative on Gambini's truthfulness to the state court judge. So unless the panel has any questions, we would respectfully request that this court affirm the district court's denial of the defense motion.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Byrd?
The character of what was presented by Detective Gambini in his affidavit changes dramatically when you look at what is on the page of the affidavit versus what was elicited in the limited amount of questioning we were able to accomplish. Drugs were being or are being dealt from the upper apartment versus drugs are the witness thinks that drugs are being dealt from the upper apartment, even though I know, having surveilled it as a detective, that it's impossible to determine whether or not the person enters, goes to the upper or the lower apartment. It does, in fact, tremendously change the character, even more so with respect to the controlled by, when this was a controlled by where I searched the informant and determined them to be free of drugs or money. That becomes, it was a buy that we arranged where I checked and they had no drugs or money in their coat or pockets, which is a far thing from a comprehensive search that would indicate with certainty to provide that comfort level to the issuing magistrate that this was in fact a controlled buy. These were the things that we were able to get to. The government argues that everything else we were seeking was irrelevant, but with the burden of looking into the state of mind of the affiant, it's not possible to do that without delving into the areas of what he knew and why he knew it based on the circumstances. And it's those things we were shut down on. Thank you.
Mr. Byrd, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment and your assistance to your client and to the court. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow.